Raya Radha Madhava Puja Bihari Popi Jara Vallabha Girvara Dhari Yasoda Dada 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 Sujaviyariya Kabhijara Vala Yasoda Dada 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 Yasoda Dada 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 Jaya Radha Madhava Puja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Puja Bihari Gangavai ki, Jamurvai ki, Bhakti Devi ki, Tulsi Maharani ki, Gopi Manandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru Garanga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Do the Sanskrit to start the Tam Krishna Talumalam, the root of the throat, Pranadhatam, burning, Agnivat, like fire, Gopala Sunam, Krishna, the son of a cowherd man. Pitaram, the father. Jagatguru, of Lord Brahma. Takchada, got out of his mouth. Sanja, immediately. Atirusha, with great anger. Akshatam, without being hurt. Bakasura. Tondera, with his sharp beak. Hantub, to kill. Puna, again. Amyat Payata, endeavor. Translation. Krishna, who was the father of Lord Brahma, but who was acting as the son of a cowherd man, became like fire, burning the root of the demon's throat, and the demon Bakasura immediately disgorged him. When the demon saw that Krishna, although having been swallowed, was unharmed, he immediately attacked Krishna again with his sharp beak. Let's read that again. Krishna, who was the father of Lord Brahma, but who was acting as the son of a cowherd man, became like fire, burning the root of the demon's throat, and the demon Bakasura immediately disgorged him. When the demon saw that Krishna, although having been swallowed, was unharmed, he immediately attacked Krishna again with his sharp beak. Purport by his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. Although Krishna is always soft as a lotus, within the throat of Bakasura, he created a burning sensation of being hotter than fire. Although Krishna's whole body is sweeter than sugar candy, Bakasura tasted bitterness and therefore immediately vomited Krishna up. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.11, yeyatam ampapadyante tamstatayava bhajamyaham. When Krishna is accepted as an enemy, he becomes the most intolerable object for the non-devotee, who cannot tolerate Krishna within or without. Here this is shown by the example of Bakasura. So this is a short purport, so I thought we'd just read the verse that's quoted from the Bhagavad Gita. 4.11. Yeyatam mampapadyante tamstatayam jamyaham mamavartante manushapata sahavashaha. All of them, as they surrender unto me, I reward accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Pritha. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Everyone is searching for Krishna in different aspects of his manifestations. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is partially realized in his impersonal Brahmajyoti effulgence and as the all-pervading supersoul dwelling within everything, including the particles of atoms. But Krishna is only fully realized by his pure devotees. Consequently, Krishna is the object of everyone's realization. And thus anyone and everyone is satisfied according to one's desire to have him. In the transcendental world also, Krishna reciprocates with his pure devotees in the transcendental attitude, just as the devotee wants him. One devotee may want Krishna as supreme master, another as his personal friend, another as his son, and still another as his lover. Krishna rewards all the devotees equally, according to their different intensities of love for him. In the material world, the same reciprocations of feelings are there, and they are equally exchanged by the Lord with the different types of worshippers. The pure devotees, both here and in the transcendental abode associate with him in person and are able to render personal service to the Lord and thus derive transcendental bliss in his loving service. As for those who are impersonalists and who want to commit spiritual suicide by annihilating the individual existence of the living entity, Krishna helps also by absorbing them into his effulgence. Such impersonalists do not agree to accept the eternal, blissful personality of Godhead. Consequently, they cannot relish the bliss of transcendental personal service to the Lord, having extinguished their individuality. Some of them, who are not situated even in the impersonal existence, return to this material field to exhibit their dormant desires for activities. They are not admitted into the spiritual planets, but they are again given a chance to act on the material planets. For those who are fruitive workers, the Lord awards the desired results of their prescribed duties as yogeshwara. And those who are yogis seeking mystic powers are awarded such powers. In other words, everyone is dependent for success upon his mercy alone, and all kinds of spiritual processes are but different degrees of success on the same path. Unless, therefore, one comes to the highest perfection of Krishna consciousness, all attempts remain imperfect, as is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Akama Savakamo Va Mokshakamo Udanadi. Whether one is without desire, the condition of the devotees, or is desirous of all fruit of results, or is after liberation, one should with all efforts try to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead for complete perfection, culminating in Krishna consciousness. So, interesting scene here. Krishna's swallowed up by this big bakasura, the duck crane, and bakasura is very surprised. His throat becomes just like fire, on fire, and then he has to spit him out. And Krishna is still unharmed. So you'd think he'd have a little more intelligence, but demons aren't very intelligent. You'd think at that point he would have turned and ran, but no, instead he attacked Krishna with his sharp beak. So later verses we'll find out what happens, but right now for everyone is very, Krishna is having a fight. First of all, the coward boys in Balaram thought he was swallowed. They thought everything was over. Now Krishna has jumped out and there's a fight beginning. So Krishna is like a superhero. He's the best of the superheroes. This was explained too, that Krishna wanted them to see how he was the real hero, that he was the greatest hero, and he was happy that the cowherd boys in Balaram were seeing this. So Krishna is the, everyone's looking, like when I was a kid, they used to have Superman, of course they still have, but a different Superman. Because that Superman, somehow or other, he jumped out the window and he actually didn't know how to fly. So that was a great tragedy in my childhood when Superman committed suicide. So we're always cheated by the material Superman. But Krishna, Prabhupada explains, Krishna will never cheat you. You will never be cheated by Krishna. Unless you try to cheat him, then he's the greatest of all cheaters. But if you try to develop your love for Krishna, you will never be disappointed, you will never be cheated. Whereas in the material world, so many people are trying to cheat in so many different ways, cheating and lying and stealing. So this is the nature of the material world. It's a nasty place. And the thing is, everyone knows who these cheaters, liars, and stealers are. especially in devotee society. Devotees, pure devotees know everything, and the descendants, the sons and daughters of the pure devotees, they become pretty tuned in gradually. They know a lot of stuff. As there used to be a saying in ISKCON, if you want to know something, there's three fast means of communication: telegraph, telephone, and teledevotee. So now there's even, now the devotees are very prominent even in the internet. So that is really fast. Someone does something right or wrong, generally wrong spreads faster than right. But if someone does something wrong, immediately everyone in the whole society knows within 5 minutes. So this is very, we should be careful, because actually that's how it goes. Everybody knows. That's just the way it is. Everyone knows. So we should be very careful. And then you may say, well, I don't care if everyone knows. But we're trying to reduce our sociopathic and psychopathic tendencies. We want to come to some higher level where we're actually concerned and a little bit ashamed of our sinful activities. Even our past sinful activities, devotee's not supposed to remember them fondly. He's supposed to feel a little remorse, and that's how one becomes purified. And if you really feel bad about something, if you're really lamenting your sinful activities, what will happen is, you know, Krishna might chastise you, but Krishna's also there for his devotees. So the more we become honest, thoughtful devotees, the more we'll experience the presence of Krishna, bit by bit, gradually. It's a slow, but the Prabhupada says in one spot, by the slow process of devotional service. But we don't want to make it the really, really slow process of devotional service. We want it to gradually come to that higher level of Krishna consciousness. So here, Prabhupada's explaining that Krishna's body is sweeter than sugar candy. So somehow or other, Bakasura didn't taste that sweeter than sugar candy. Bakasura tasted it very bad. So we all know the example of the sugar. When you have jaundice, the sugar candy tastes bitter. But then by taking the sugar candy, you eventually become cured. So we have like recurring jaundice. Sometimes we're getting a good taste of Krishna consciousness, but a lot of times we're forgetting. Recurring jaundice with amnesia. So this recurring jaundice with amnesia, this is not good. But we do have that experience as devotees, how sweet Krishna consciousness is. It's like burfi. Of course, we don't get that very much lately, but like burfi in the morning. We used to get the burfi in the morning. Devotees have made advancement. They don't steal the burfi anymore in the morning. I don't know how they... authorities have managed that. In the old days, there would be no question, some devotees would get it. See, this is, if you want to steal, you should steal prasadam. This is nice. You know, just like Krishna's stealing of butter and yogurt, everyone's in ecstasy. So stealing is there in the spiritual sky. That's why this is a perverted reflection. But in the material world, it's nasty business, stealing. So sometimes you're addicted to it, but now, you want to give it up. You want to give that up. So there's a story how this one thief, he wanted to go on pilgrimage. He wanted to change his ways. So he went with all the holy men out on pilgrimage. So then it became nighttime. So then there was a problem. Because at nighttime, he was habituated to getting up and going out and stealing from the householders' houses. So he had this strong desire to steal. But he was on a pilgrimage with all these holy men. So it was a dilemma. So then he thought, okay, I'll do this. So he had a plan. So he stole all the stuff from the holy man. And then they woke up in the morning and he said, where's our stuff? Someone stole it. And then what they figured out that one guy had the other person's stuff. And this way the thief had taken all the holiest men's paraphernalia and put it in another place in the room, but he didn't actually take it outside the room. So eventually they all sorted it out. So this was the proper way of doing it. He was habituated, but he did it in such a way that he became purified. This Bhagavad Gita verse, too, that's quoted, and the Prabhupada gives a quote at the end of the Gita verse. Now, whether one is without desire, the condition of the devotee, or is desirous of all fruit of results, or is after liberation, one should, with all efforts, try to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead for complete perfection, culminating in Krishna consciousness. Akama savakamo va mokshi kamo udharidhi. So this is hard to understand. How, by satisfying our desires, that eventually we'll get purified. But this is the process, that you just go to Krishna, and somehow or other, when Krishna pleases the devotee with these other, he'll realize, oh, Krishna is so kind to me, and gradually, bit by bit, he'll give up all these desires and just want to serve Krishna, because that's ultimately our business in life anyway. We don't have any other business. The jiva is transmigrating everywhere. It's like, this verse is very nice, actually. All of them, as they surrender unto me, I reward accordingly. Krishna's explaining here, everyone. Everyone's following. Everyone's a devotee. So they're either a devotee following or a devotee not following. That's the only two positions. And Bhakti Sananda, he explains it one very nice. Bhakti Sananda says that the first thing you should understand is that there's only one religion. There's not two religions, there's not 10 religions, there's not hundreds of thousands. There's one religion. There's only bhakti yoga. There's only the love and devotion to God, to Krishna. And that should be the understanding. So from the point of view of the devotees, that are strictly following, they just see others as needing to come to this point. Prabhupada would challenge strongly everyone. He was convinced that this Krishna consciousness is the only method of realization, the only hope for the living entities. So we should become convinced like that too. So you may say, but that'll cause so many arguments. It's not bad to argue with intelligent people. Making friends with fools, that's the problem. So of the two, making friends with a fool or arguing with an intelligent man, the best thing is to argue with an intelligent man. So Krishna consciousness is meant for the intelligent class of men. Of course, everyone can take to this process. Krishna is so kind, is something everyone can do, and Krishna will give more intelligence as we surrender. So it's not that anyone is disqualified. Everyone is qualified for becoming an unalloyed pure devotee. And there's no other path. The other paths, whatever's happening, Krishna's doing it to that individual soul too. Krishna's accompanying each individual soul is a super soul. And whatever he's experiencing in life, whatever we're experiencing, whatever anyone's experiences, is this Krishna bringing together the living entities in different ways according to their surrender and their service or their lack of surrender. So everyone is, just like somehow or other, we became devotees in the Hare Krishna movement. We all have a story. So we were looking for something, and Krishna eventually brought us to this position. I was reading some books about self-realization. And it was one book, Gurdjieff and Ouspensky. They were recommending that you remember the I. The I. So I was trying to remember the I. You know, I'm trying to remember that I'm the I and, you know, I have the body, whatever. But it wasn't very blissful trying to remember that I was the I. I wasn't getting very much nectar from that. And then, you know, one of my friends, he was a nice gentleman. He was a little bit addicted to LSD. But anyway, he was saying, you have no right to kill poor animals. What did they do to you? You can't create them. And I never thought about it before. And I said, yeah, you're right. And then I tried to become a vegetarian just by hearing from this one person, not even hearing from a devotee, just from hearing from a slightly pious psychedelic man. So I started thinking, okay, I'll just eat carrots, I'll eat brown rice, because that's what, so I was eating some carrots, some brown rice, and that was pretty austere too. That wasn't working out very much. So I was trying to remember the eye and trying to eat carrots and brown rice. It wasn't that much nectar, like none. But I would add an apple once in a while. You have an apple, so. There was one priest who became, he sort of started associating with the devotees. Indra Dubhia tells a big story. I'm not going to tell the whole story. But his whole meal was, for years, he was having soup and bread and an apple. And he was eating that same thing. I think once a day, too, for years. And then he met up with the devotees, and the devotees started giving him prasadam, and he started popping glum jammies, and he sort of became intoxicated. But then the other brothers came to get him away from the devotees. But he was very favorable. Even up to his death, he was remembering the devotees. It was he was very attracted to the attitude of the devotees of Krishna. So as Krishna's explaining here, that everyone's just following him. Everyone belongs to Krishna. Everything belongs to Krishna. So whoever we meet, whatever we get, as any opulence or no opulence or whatever we get, and this is the month of Purushottama. So the 15th chapter, Krishna's explaining that he's the fire of digestion. He's the light of the sun and the moon. Whatever we see, this is actually what makes good spiritual advancement, if he can remember that. That's a big amount of spiritual advancement, if you understand that Krishna's digesting the foodstuffs that you're eating. And light of the sun and the moon, the syllable Om. And sometimes you think you can remember stuff, but actually Krishna can make you forget. I was reading that verse, and I've done the Raj Boga for like 7 or 8 years. I was reading the verse, you know, memory, knowledge, forgetfulness. I said, okay. Sure enough, that very week, I forgot to do the Raj Boga. I completely forgot, even though I've done it for 7 straight years. So Krishna is just trying to show that you can't even remember anything except for his mercy. When you wake up in the morning, how do you remember what to do? It's just that Krishna reminds you from the past. You do it when you take your next body. How do you start off from where you left off in the last life? Because Krishna reminds you. Even the animals, you see them drinking milk. One time, some puppy was taking milk from the mother puppy or something, a cat, whatever it was. But they were saying something to Prabhupada about it. And they were saying that it's instinct. And Prabhupada said a very interesting thing. He said, old remembrances. In other words, we've been taking breast milk from so many mothers for so many trillions of births and deaths. This is just old remembrances. It's not really instinct. And we don't come into this world as an amoeba. We come in as Lord Brahma, full knowledge. And then we go down from there.
We don't go up from the amoeba, we go down from Lord Brahma. And here it was explaining that Krishna is that father of Lord Brahma, even though he's the son of Nanda Maharaj, Nanda Nandana. He's the father of Lord Brahma. So this is always good to remember that. And this wealth, everything belongs to Krishna. So this is the burden of great wealth, or whatever wealth you have to figure out, how can I use this for Krishna? How can I not waste this? Because Lakshmi is chanchala, she's flickering anyway, comes and he goes. The fool and his money are soon parted, they say. So this opulence has to be used in Krishna's service, and then more and more opulence will come. And what better arrangement is there for your Lakshmi than giving it to Krishna? There's one text there, Prabhupada says, if someone's a businessman and he has millions of dollars, it's in Bhagavad Gita. If someone's a businessman and he has millions of dollars and he has to give it all to Krishna, Prabhupada says, he could do that. He says, he can do that. And one time they were talking like that, and some of the life members, you know, they're very favorable. They're very favorable. I think he's enjoyed as a devotee. But anyway, they were very favorable. He very, very wealthy man. And he had factories. And Prabhupada was explaining how whatever ingredients you're using in a factory, the earth, the water, fire, air, the ether, whatever ingredients, it's coming from Krishna. So it actually belongs to Krishna. So if you're using, you're just a thief if you're taking those from Krishna and using it for yourself. You're just a thief. So the man said, oh, I just take a little. The Prabhupada said, so you are just a little thief. And everyone was laughing in the room, including the man. They were on friendly terms. But the Prabhupada said, you're just a little thief. Anyway, I was just making a point that Krishna's a superhero. So also all the other Lord Pure devotees, they're also superheroes, supermen. You're always looking for the best person. I remember when I was a karmi, I was looking for the best people. But I couldn't find any, you know, and it wasn't really satisfactory. So you're always looking for the best people. So the best people are Krishna and all his pure devotees. And Prabhupada, not only did he introduce himself and Krishna, but he introduced all the other acharyas and all the great servants of Lord Chaitanya and all the great holy men of all times. So these are our heroes. They're wonderful heroes too. Whereas the non-devotees, they pretend to be heroes, but you know, they wind up jumping out the window and smashing in the pavement. One last point is that this Krishna consciousness is the universal truth. And everyone is looking for Krishna. So one has to be very honest and very humble, because Krishna is the supreme director and we're just his little servants. And if we don't serve properly, like I was discussing before, everything is known. In the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada explains one place too that if someone is a guru, bogus guru, so Krishna will arrange something where it's revealed to everybody. Krishna will arrange it. He reveals it to everyone. So this is, you know, you may think that nobody knows, but actually everyone knows. And sometimes we're speaking and, you know, if we're not, we become like puffed up like this Bakasura, we're thinking, you know, all the karmis think they're speaking big stuff, you know. But actually, what the people are hearing is quack, 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 just like the duck. That's all they're hearing. And, you know, devotees can experience that sometimes. They're hearing some politician or something, and you can't even focus on it. You're just hearing quack, 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 quack. So that was my closing point. Are there any comments or questions? Oh, good. Let's take our youngest devotee there. Yes, Mataji?
Hare Krishna, thank you for the class. If we were a Brahma at some point, you said that.
Yeah,
you're
a Brahma. Just say it's amazing.
I understand that we had this propensity to want to enjoy in the material realm.
Right.
But if before we came here we were a Brahma and we wanted to enjoy, why would we come? Why would we start? Or why would we be like a dog or something? Why would we ever go there?
Well, that's the
maybe
point.
A human, like maybe, but
I forgot to tell that story too about how we want to enjoy stool. So when Lord Indra made some, he's also a big demigod. So Lord Indra, he committed some offense. He's always doing something wrong. He's because he wants to enjoy so much. It's dangerous because Krishna doesn't like that too, because he knows you're going to fall down. So he doesn't like when you try to enjoy like a demigod, because he knows you're going to fall down. But anyway, Indra was trying to enjoy as a pig after he was cursed to be a pig by the holy man. So he was trying to enjoy, and he was enjoying. He was thinking it was great fun. And the heavenly planets weren't going so good without Indra directing. So they came to bring him back. And bring me back, are you kidding? I don't want to leave. This is great. I got my piggy wife. Look at all those little piggies living piggy lives. Look at all those little piggies with their piggy wives. That was the Beatles. They're devotees, right? They were devotees. They came up with lines like that. Anyway, he was enjoying, and you know, then the butcher came to slaughter. He slaughtered his wife and the children. And still, he still had his slop there, like they say. He's enjoying like a pig in stool. So he still had his slop. But then when they came, when the butcher came for him, then he realized, oh yeah. So this death is, for the materialist, death is Krishna. As far as why Brahma wants to enjoy, that's the $64,000 question. But the fact of the matter is, it's going on. Prabhupada said, the fact of the matter is, it's going on. You don't have to, you may ask why, but you can see it's going on. So the same reason, this is what I heard, they don't quote this, but it's there in Shastra somewhere. I can't tell you where. That the same reason we're still here in the material world is the same reason we left. We all have some malice. We have some envy. Other people, malice. Malice is bad envy. That's malicious. That's a more strong word. And Prabhupada says in the purport, and that malice starts at the top. We have malice towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyway, now we're improving. So you may not feel like you have, because you've been purified. And you took birth in a family of devotees, so it's not an ordinary birth. So we become purified a little. So maybe some of that hardcore hatred is going away. Why are you looking? Krishna's enjoying. We're somehow or other. But when we go back to the spiritual world, there's an inkling there. We remember. Just like we don't leave Krishna consciousness that fast. We usually think about it because we remember how much suffering there was before we became a devotee. Sometimes we get amnesia, like I was saying, and we forget. So I don't know if I answered your question, but I just someone aside. You had another question here? Problem? I'll get to it in a minute.
I just wanted to ask how you, what would be your viewpoint on what the purpose of suffering in the material world in relation to love? That's one aspect. And then the other question is,
this is a long, love is a long,
well, suffering and love of Godhead, if you could put those together.
Suffering and love of Godhead.
Yeah, like in the material world, you see so much, as you call it, bad karma going on. So how does that, or does it, propel one to love God?
Krishna's testing you.
Okay, wait, pause. One other aspect. Everyone follows my path in all respects.
Right.
So could you please explain how the hypocrites and demons are following in all respects? Thank you.
They're getting their hypocritical and demonic reactions. So they're getting to associate with other hypocrites and other demons. And they don't like one another. They like one another for a while. And Satan is a big pile of money. So the demons will divide it up. But then afterwards, they want to get the other demons. So, like we were saying, it's not good to have demons as your friends or hypocrites. It's better to be a sincere streeper in the street, than a charlatan meditator, Prabhupada said. Better an honest bungee than a big, rich, rascal cheetah. Now, why do we suffer? We suffer in relationship with Krishna. When we go into purification, we may still have material desires, akama, but keep with Krishna, though. Here's the verse. I mean, I've been struggling with this verse forever. This is a very hard verse to understand. How can you engage in material sense enjoyment and at the same time make spiritual advancement? But it's gradual. So Krishna doesn't want you to go away, but maybe you'll suffer a little, and then maybe you'll give up a little bit more. Maybe you'll give up a little bit more of these material, they're not actually happiness, they're all misery. The material world is overrated. Sex life is overrated, it's not that good. It's overrated. You know, the same thing, you know. Eating hamburgers ain't really that good. Now, veggie burgers, maybe, but it's not that good. The enjoyment in the spiritual sky is way better. So the more we get that taste by staying with Krishna, even though we're not pure devotees, by staying with Krishna, so then he becomes attached too after a while. It's like you got the old dog, it's useless, but you don't kick it away. So we become like that. Oh, that devotee's been around for so many years, maybe I'll just kick him out for a few days and then he'll come back. And he's going to come back too because there's nothing as good. There's a story Bhakti Sanatha tells about, if you want to work and it's going to keep working for you. So all his workers were leaving. So the guy was saying, how can I keep these guys here? And they all leave me. So he said, well, you give them really good basmati rice and fresh ghee. You feed them that every day for the first 6 months or a year that he's with you. And then you can get him to do as much as you want. It doesn't matter. He's not going to leave. And if he leaves, he's going to come back, and he'll say, well, yeah, I guess I'm just, you know, attached to this. But it's the basmati rice and ghee that he's attached to. So, that's the whole idea, to get us attached to this process. I mean, these questions are unlimited. They could go on for millions of years. We ask that question. Why did we come to the material world? Practically every class, someone asks that question in one way or the other. They sort of make it sound a little different. They make it sound a little different. But almost every class, someone asks that question one way or the other. And then other fools think they have a better answer. That, you know, the Hare Krishnas didn't hear nothing in 40 years, plus from all their great acharyas. But someone else has a better answer. And they actually think that way. So they have to go away for a while. One thing I was going to say, I mean, people probably argue with me, but no one actually leaves Krishna. They get kicked out. So that's the way it is. Everyone knows that's the way it is. Okay, what time are we getting? Okay, we got another. Yamaraj had his hand up earlier.
Okay, thank you for a nice class, Prabhu. Very humorous. One thing I was thinking about when you were saying Krishna is the fire and digestion.
Right.
You know, that would be a good preaching line. Go tell some older people, instead of buying colon cleanse and these fields that make you use washroom, just chant Hare Krishna. Chant a lot.
Yeah, anyway, you could get them to chat. Krishna's make so many arrangements to get everyone to chat. Haram. Even the Muslims are chanting when they get bored by a wild pig. Haram means horrible, but somewhere other than chanting, haram. Last question, Rabaha.
Well, I've also thought about these questions, these other, because naturally anybody who's thoughtful thinks about those. And it seems that there's a certain intrigue about the knowledge that Krishna reveals to you. And
right.
Even if you hear it, it won't compute until the timing is right. So
right.
It's very personal, these kind of questions.
I agree. Other,
and like with your questionnaires from Lord Brahma, that you have to find why in your own heart. You know, those, we know everything pretty much right now to be pure devotees, so why aren't we?
And we're probably enjoying more than Lord Brahma because we're devotees of Srila Prabhupada, so why do we go away?
And just like what you said, in just other words, is in the effect, the cause is still in the effect, and the effect is in the cause. So that it's still in us right now, and through introspection and purification, because love has to have that intrigue. It can't be academically understood. It's a realized change of the heart.
But if someone throws you a life preserver, though, you can't speculate and think about things too much. You got to grab the life preserver. Wait till you get them on the boat, then you can make all sorts of thinking. But when the life preserver goes out, you better swim really fast to get that life preserver. Not that, oh, how did I get in this water? My goodness gracious. No, grab the life. Because you know the boat has that propeller on the back too. If you don't get out of the water, sometimes you get sucked into the propeller. All right, all glory to Srila Prabhupada.